Connecticut begins its first phase of reopening today. Restaurants can now offer dining outdoors only. Malls, stores, and offices can reopen with some restrictions. Democratic Governor Ned Lamont won't allow salons and barbers to open yet. He said workers told him they weren't ready with protection or child care. And 11 state senators asked the governor to delay the whole reopening to get more testing and preparation. Democratic State Senator Saud Anwar was one of them. He's also a frontline doctor. So, Senator, doctor, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Robin.
And talk about your concern about the state opening, because Governor Lamont says there's been a nearly four-week drop in the number of hospitalizations from COVID-19. He said the state is 53% below the peak. What are your biggest fears?
Robin, first, I want to just mention that I think the governor and his team are doing an excellent job in very difficult circumstances. I can tell you the overarching issues that I think are worthy to consider. The state of Connecticut is one of the fourth most densely populated states in the country. The case fatality rate, which means that the number of people who got infected and the number of people who died, is the highest in the country.
You mean neighboring New York? And by the way, a lot of people from New York live in Connecticut. More people who get sick in Connecticut die from COVID-19 than even, you know, the same equation in New York?
Yes, New York and New Jersey, if you look at the numbers. So the case fatality rate basically is the total number of people who developed the disease and the total number of people who have died from the disease. So the death divided by the total cases, multiply that by 100, that's the case fatality rate. New York and New Jersey are behind us.
And is it fair to say that's because in Connecticut, I think 50% of your tragic deaths have come from people in nursing homes?
That is true. And we are the sixth most older state in the country. And then the next point is that the healthcare disparities in the state of Connecticut are much higher than we have in other states. We have some of the richest and the most affluent neighborhoods. And about 10-minute drive from there, we have the poorest of the poor neighborhoods. While the disease spreads equally amongst people, but because of the socioeconomic status and how the state has been set up, has allowed the disease to spread much more within our minority communities in inner cities. So if you look at this broader issue, we have to have pause and respect before we make a major decision.
You're a doctor. You're a practicing physician. You've treated patients. We're going to speak next to a diner owner. You know, the pain of people who have been losing money, maybe losing businesses, is palpable. You know that. They feel that they can make it safe, but they may not make it if they don't get that chance to try to make it safe. What would you say to them?
So I can first say to them that I truly understand and recognize and respect what you're experiencing. And we can do better by being better prepared to allow you to open your business, but at the same time, make sure that you and your family and your workers and your customers are all safe. Now, I have seen the ugly face of this disease. When you see people in their 30s or people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s die, you have to have respect for the disease. And I would not want it to happen to any single person anywhere if I have a way to do this.
It must be horrible to see people not be able to breathe.
It changes you. And these patients should have had full lives had it not been for COVID. Here we are, and then you're seeing so many people in minority communities. And when certain people are impacted more so, yes, it is the virus, but also it is the overall situation of how health and healthy living and healthy opportunities are different for different people in our state.
That's Connecticut State Senator Saud Anwar, also a medical doctor who treats patients with COVID-19. Senator Anwar, Dr. Anwar, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Robin.
Well, let's bring in that diner owner. David Agostino owns the Bedford Street Diner in Stamford, Connecticut, about 40 miles outside New York City. David, State Senator Anwar wants just a pause, you know, more testing and preparation. Why not wait, even just 1 week more?
Well, I mean, I guess I could live with 1 week, but as of now, our governor, Lamont, has already declared that there will be no inside dining until June 20th. So that's another month. I mean, in my mind, we were told, I think it was March 17th, to essentially close our business is doing takeout and delivery. bars, salons, gyms, they were literally had to lock their doors to flatten the curve. And a lot of the citizens of Connecticut feel like we did that. It's flattened. So what are we doing now? Well, what are we waiting for? So every germ in the state is gone?
And by the way, it sounds like you're saying you feel like you were good citizens, and today you start outside sidewalk dining. Delivery. We're hearing in some places, like in the North End in Boston, that delivery ability maybe was 5% of what they need to keep going. How about with you? How much did that give you?
I would say between takeout and delivery, I'm down about 82% without the indoor dining.
And by the way, are you getting any help for that? Any supplemental aid?
We did get the PPP, as it's very well documented. The PPP does not work well for restaurants or gyms. Number one, it took too long, and by the time I finally got my hands on it, two of my employees went on unemployment. I couldn't blame them with that extra $600 bonus that the government lapped in there. Yeah. It really wasn't good for restaurants and gyms. But I did get that, and the staff that did stay, I can use that to pay them.
Let's remind people, business owners had to spend 75% of that PPP on employee payroll. But like many business owners, you wish you had more of that money to pay things like utilities and rent. And now outside dining, what percentage is that going to give you?
I have no idea. We've never really had it. You know, we barely ever have put tables outside. Should it be an uptick? Right. Yes. But nothing's going to make up for, you know, when you have a busy weekend inside a diner.
I got to tell you, for parts of the country that don't have diners, it's inconceivable to see table, like a cafe setting, outside of a diner. Because the whole experience is packed into your booths in the diner, and there's a place where you can sit at the counter, and it's one after the other.
Or chairs are turned upside down on tables. It's a very sad sight.
Yeah, I bet it is. And what precautions are you taking for the outside dining?
Well, we're following all the rules that the governor wanted. We have going to have sanitizers. We're going to have single serve mustard, sugar, creamers. We have the utensils that are plastic that are wrapped individually, wipe down each table after every use. We're going to, with a waitress today, we'll wear a mask, gloves.
Well, and are you concerned about your waitresses and your workers? Are they concerned?
No. Well, right now, the only workers are my cooks are in the back, so they're not coming into contact with the actual customers. But me, my sisters, and my mother are doing the waitressing. So, I mean, are they concerned? I'm not that much. Are we more concerned about losing a business we built for 13 years? Yes.
Yeah. I have this feeling, Stanford being such a bustling place anyway, but it's also, you know, between New York and Boston, people travel on 95 like crazy back and forth. I feel you're going to have customers, but are you on pins and needles about what you will see?
I don't know about pins and needles. I'm curious to see how many people will come out. Like I said, we have managed to stay afloat, but it's going to be up to our landlord. You know, I'm 2 months down on rent. If he demands every penny in full from these months, then we're not going to make it. And that's the case for other places I've talked to around town. Because in little strip mall area, you know, you've been here, I don't know if you remember the other stores, we have a dry cleaner that can't pay the electricity because everyone's working from home and no one's getting their clothes pressed. A Chinese restaurant that went out of business, now they're trying to come back. And a Rite Aid, which is probably making 10 times more than everybody, so that he's fine there.
Yeah. Look, looking ahead, are you worried about how you're going to keep people safe inside? I mean, what are you going to do? What are your plans for inside the restaurant?
We'll have people wear masks. We'll have the gloves. We'll have the sanitizer. So, you know, we're in the process of getting a, you know, paper menu. So whatever the rules apply, we're going to follow them to the best of our ability. I mean, you also look, I mean, what is Target doing? What is Home Depot doing? They've been open from the get-go. I mean, just because they have arrows stuck on the floor to tell you where to go, they're more equipped than me and my staff, my whole family, to run our business.
I hear you. And yet what they say is that you spend far less time in those places and you're far separated from people because they're limiting how many can come in. Where when people are in a restaurant, it's an intimate experience, and that's the concern.
Yeah, I mean, Walmart, Target, they're touching everything on the shelf, going by. One's going this way, one's going that way. I just don't, you know, if they're going to be open, you know, are they an essential business? My sister has three kids. My other sister has three kids. We have three houses between us. I mean, you know, my diner is essential to me.
Yeah. Well, Dave Agostino, I know people think that diners are essential, and I hope you have a terrific day. Best of luck to you.
Yeah, well, thank you. Thank you for having me, and good luck to you guys, and hopefully we'll see the other end of this soon enough.